Tonight's topic is an interesting one. I think most of us resonate with it. How to forgive when you can't forget. And forgetting can be tough. And while we remember a situation where we were hurt, it's sometimes not so easy to forgive and let go. So we're going to be exploring this theme tonight, how to replace emotional hurts that repeat in your mind. How do you replace that so that you become free from it emotionally and mentally? What do we need to do when it comes to forgiveness? And what do we need to do when it comes to forgetting? Is it really possible? Or are we asking too much of ourselves? And should we just think about forgiving and forget about forgetting? What's the journey for us? And if we need to forgive, where does it start? Does it start with forgiving ourselves, or does it start with forgiving others? And these are just some of the things we've asked our speaker to explore. So our speaker tonight is Sister Jenty. Sister Jenty is a meditation expert with over 50 years of experience. She travels widely and has helped individuals, organizations, exploring spirituality. Recently, she has become our additional administrative head of the Brahma Kumaris, which is the parent organization. She's been the organization's representative to the United Nations in Geneva since 1982, participating in projects connected to the environment, climate change, women, youth, and I'm going to go dot, dot, dot. There are many other areas. Gentlemen, over to you.
Thank you, Aarti. It is a very big subject, to forgive and to forget, and usually we associate both of these things together. But let's decouple them for this evening and see where we go. Forgiveness. Well, forgiveness is the key to freedom. And I'm reminded of the statement by the late Nelson Mandela when he was freed from Robben Island jail. And there were two sets of doors. As he left that first set of doors and they closed behind him, and he approached the second set of doors, and that was going to be the doors opening to freedom. In that short walk that he had, he made a decision. He said to himself, I'm now being freed from this physical jail, but if I don't let go of anger and revenge and bitterness and hatred, I will be in prison for the rest of my life. My mind will be held in prison. And so by the time he walked to the second set of doors and was able to walk outside, he was already free internally. And his physical freedom, of course, then meant that there was a new chapter for South Africa and a new hope given to the whole of humanity. Because sometimes we lose hope. We think that the world around us is so dark, so many negative, evil things are happening in so many different spheres that we wonder whether change is ever possible. And I know that there's no country that's perfect, but I do know that the transition of power from an undemocratic government to a democratically elected government and people, that journey meant that South Africa could create its own path and its own destiny for the future. And as I say, a lot more work to be done there as everywhere else. But it was an amazing experience for the world to see that one man's liberation from, anger and hatred was such that it was possible to begin a new journey for a whole nation. And the word that he touched upon was forgiveness. He was able to forgive genuinely with his heart. And of course, that started the whole subject of negotiations and discussions, and then finally, of course, also the joint Nobel Prize that he shared with the person who actually had been at one point his oppressor. Now, this was a magnificent moment. And I was in South Africa. I'd visited South Africa many times before the elections. My first journey had been to South Africa in 1982, so it was regular journeys there. And at that moment, when it was maybe a few weeks before the first democratic elections, we were beginning to see what seemed to be a bloodbath develop. And the interfaith organizations, the organizations that were faith-based organizations, began a meditation vigil. And many, many linked together to do continuous meditations. And so for me, that was again the evidence of the power of prayer, the power of forgiveness on one man's part, but also the whole community coming together in prayer. And the elections went off peacefully, which was something that both sides had feared maybe just wasn't possible. Maybe people weren't ready. And I believe that, yes, people were ready, but also that the power of prayer was able to move things in the direction of peace. How did this individual come to that level of forgiveness? I think it took a lot of deep thinking, and it wasn't just in that little journey from one set of doors to the next. It was very deep reflection that he had during his period of incarceration, and it gave him plenty of time to think deeply. I saw the place where he and others with him were toiling and creating rocks out of the landscape, which was very hard. And when it was the sun at its peak in the hours of the afternoon, noontime, and the hot beating sun, and these men were just asked to cut out rocks from the main rock that was there. Can you imagine if it had been a lesser person? There would have been a huge amount of hatred and anger that would have accumulated, and democracy would not have been possible. But this man, going deep inside himself, and also, yes, he was a believer, so in his conversations with the divine, understood what he needed to do. And he understood that forgiveness is freedom, not for the other. It's freedom for myself. Just imagine what happens to me if I don't forgive. I see myself as a victim and the other as an oppressor. A victim is never in a position of power. A victim will always feel disempowered and helpless. Is that how I want to continue to feel for the rest of my life? I definitely don't. And so what am I going to do about it? Let me understand, firstly, that circumstances don't just happen. There are different causes that create circumstances. And they didn't just happen to me. but I made many of those things happen myself. And so maybe one of the first steps towards forgiveness is to realize I'm not a victim. I also contributed to that situation in which things worked out in a way that was not so pleasant for me, but I'm not a victim. I also had a hand in creating those situations. It's a very hard pill to swallow, to accept responsibility. But in my understanding and my experience, once I accept responsibility, then I can start dealing with something and reverse the pattern and create change within myself. While I'm just pointing the finger out there, of course, three fingers are pointing to me. And I'm not stopping to look at myself because there's always this blame, complain factor that's going on then. But who am I to blame somebody else? Who am I to complain? I also was part of that situation that created the circumstances as they evolved. But now, at this moment, having accepted responsibility, can I also say I did the best that I could at that moment? And so forgiving the self means coming to terms with what it is I did to make things happen the way that they turned out. And if I don't see anything had anything to do with me, it was all somebody else's fault. Or maybe I just need a little bit more time. Maybe I haven't given enough time for my own introspection. And so maybe I need more time for silence. I need more time for dialogue with myself. I need more time to look and see inside what's going on. What are the different factors that are motivating me in this journey of life? We're so busy doing that we don't give enough time to being, and in particular, explore what the being within is. And so maybe I need a little bit more time. That's also okay. But if you happen to be listening to this, to me, that's telling me that you've already started your journey. And so maybe this is the right time. And so first step, can I see what was my role in that situation that created the end result in which I feel that the other party is to blame and I'm the victim? Second step, I ask myself, well, how long do I want to stay a victim? Till the end of my days? Well, that's not a very happy state to be in. My lack of forgiveness is robbing me of my inner happiness and peace and contentment. Neither am I happy, nor am I content, nor am I very peaceful. And these are treasures that I value greatly. I don't want to lose them, but rather I want to be able to develop them. And so can I let go? Can I ask myself the question, what did I learn out of all of this? And maybe what I learned was not to be naive, not to be innocent. Maybe what I learned was I must never allow anger to take over because it clouds judgment in a very, very dangerous way. Imagine a person on the road driving when they're angry. It's scary, isn't it? They're a menace to themselves and everybody else on the road, whether pedestrian or in a car. And a person who's calm and cool, more likely is going to get to their destination without any mishap and is unlikely to cause grief to another. And so I want to get back to that state of inner peace and calm so that I can get on with my life. Otherwise, this is a disruption in my life. And I can never say that, well, there's only one person I haven't forgiven. Everybody else is okay. I don't have a problem with anyone else. Just imagine, here's a glass of water, and somebody tells you, well, there's only one drop of poison in it, not three, just one drop. Is that going to encourage you to take a drink? You'll still say, no, thank you. And so I may have forgiven two people who caused me grief. And maybe I haven't forgiven the third person. But that one individual I haven't forgiven is still festering inside of me and is creating poison inside, which means that I'm really not healthy inside. I'm not in a position to be able to have normal, healthy relationships with others around me, because that poison is still there inside of me. So how do I clean it out? With that awareness that what I'm doing is for my benefit. And if it's benefit to the other, fine. But more importantly, I want to be free from this burden. Otherwise, it's like there's a burden weighing on my mind. It's also blocking my heart. I'm not able to experience the exchange of love with many others around me in the way that is natural. There's something that's causing the block, because lack of forgiveness with one individual means that I'm hesitant to be open and free in my relationship with others. And so can I finish this now so that then everything else can come back to normality? My health suffers through lack of forgiveness. When there's a burden that I'm carrying, it's not just a subtle burden on my mind. It is definitely that. My mind constantly feels heavy. I don't feel light and easy and able to enjoy life. I feel there's a burden I'm carrying, and I am. Imagine taking around 10 kilos on your back of potatoes that you don't need to be carrying. So I don't need to carry a sack of potatoes around with me for the rest of my life. It's not physical, but definitely it's there on an emotional and mental level. And so it's pressing, it's weighing me down. I have to make that decision for myself. Nobody else can make it for me. And whatever else you hear isn't going to propel you in that direction either. Maybe what will happen is that a few ideas will seed your mind, and you reflect on those ideas. And in your own good time, when you're ready, you'll take action. But definitely, it's a burden for me, and it's poison for all the relationships that I want to experience in a light, easy, warm, and loving manner. It's not possible to manage both. And the third thing, not only is it a burden on my mind, it actually also impacts the well-being of my physical health. When there's emotional freedom and there's emotional stability, I'm able to manage myself pretty well. My whole physiology is in a state of harmony. Otherwise, the blockages in the mind are going to create blockages in my physiology also. And there's going to be problems that I experience and then have to deal with. And that'll create more problems. So my total state of freedom depends on being able to very genuinely let go and forgive, give and become free. When I give the other that space, then I am actually freeing myself. When I understand the impact of lack of forgiveness, then my heart says, yes, it's time to forgive. It's time to be able to let go and to move on. And if I can't find it in my heart to very deeply and sincerely forgive, there's one other resort that I can move to. Can I say, well, it's not in my hands. Let me hand over the situation so that that individual is accountable to the laws of the universe, and if I believe in God, is accountable to God, not to me. But I don't have to think about it. I don't have to deal with it. I found that where I could forgive, then I could let go and become free. But where I found it very difficult, because I really felt that this person had created injustice for me, but more than me, a whole number of other innocent people. At that moment, I had to learn to say, it's not in my hands anymore. I hand it over to the divine. And when I could do that, then I could be detached, I could become free, and I could regain my own inner balance and equanimity. And so whether I forgive or I hand over to the justice that is there within the universe, most of you have heard about this word karma, and karma is not always understood. And I'm not going to go into the detail of the subject of karma right now. But I do want to point out that there's always cause and effect. And so if I plant a seed, it's going to give me the return of whatever it is I've planted. Lemon seeds, and I'm going to get sour fruits. Sweet mango seeds, and I'm going to get sweet mangoes. And so depending on who is planting and the intention with which they're planting and the seed that they're planting, so accordingly are the results. And so karma is a universal law, and it is absolute. We might not always understand that because we're only seeing a short span, whereas if one steps back and sees things in a bigger picture, then one could see more about the law of karma. But if I believe in cause and effect and believe that that's true in the physical world, then a corollary of that is that I also believe that in the spiritual dimension, if I have good wishes, good feelings, and do good deeds, the return is going to come back to me. But if I be negative and not so benevolent, then the return of that also comes to me. And it happens through thoughts, but also words and actions. And so let me be able to believe in absolutely the validity of the law of karma, of cause and effect, action and reaction, and know that I have to let go and let God, or I have to let go and let the goodness of justice prevail. It's going to work out. I don't need to hang on to it. So forgiveness is absolutely vital if I want to move forward in my life, both in terms of just a human that's wanting to have the best of relationships and give and take of joy and love. Lack of forgiveness inhibits that. But I set myself free, I forgive in whichever way it is I can, then yes, relationships blossom. But also my mind is now light. I'm able to do what I need to do with clarity, and maybe more than that, excellence. Yes, I can even use my own highest potential to do the best that I possibly can. Otherwise, there was a block. My energy wasn't allowing me to be able to do that. Now I can. And then, if I've been able to forgive, what happens about being able to forget? Maybe if I can't let go sufficiently in terms of being able to forget, what I can do is to say time will heal. And this is a reality. Things that you were hanging on to when you were 10 years old and you thought you'd never be able to let go of something, you look back and you can't even remember exactly what had happened. Maybe that's because you were so young, but look back to when you were 20 and things were happening and you thought you'd never be able to deal with this and forget this. But today, in terms of the big picture, it seems just a tiny little blip on the screen. And after that, so many more things have happened. And each time things happen, we think, how am I going to ever be able to forget this? But time is a fantastic healer. You know, when you have a wound somewhere and it looks absolutely awful, and really very, very serious. But nature takes its course, and over a space of time, the healing has happened. And the same thing works on the inner level too. Let nature take its course. Let me continue with what I know is important in my life. And the things that have been left behind will very gently be forgotten. So time truly does heal, I know that. But how long is it going to take? I can't predict, and I want to be able to be free now. Can I make myself forget? Well, every time that particular incident comes up in my mind, human nature is that I replay that again and again and again. And the more times that I replay it, the deeper it gets imprinted, not only in my psyche, but even in my cells, in the cells of the body. And so I carry that pain in the body. If some of you have been to people who practice healing in different natural ways, and there's 1,000 different ways, you would have heard this from them, from the healers. They would have told you that the body itself holds the imprint of all the emotional trauma that you've been through, which is why sometimes there's pain in your shoulders, sometimes in your back, sometimes here, sometimes there, and wherever. And they'll tell you that you have to release, you have to let go. And so again, there's very much a deep connection with the physical body. And there are people out there probably listening who could tell you a lot more about this subject than I can. But I know that that is a reality. But every time that situation comes up in my mind, I can bring in light and not allow that situation to be imprinted again and again and again. Try this. It's a state of bereavement, and someone you love has passed away, and maybe due to the COVID regime, you weren't even able to see them at the end. so many sad stories like this have happened in the last 18 months or so. That image keeps coming in front of you, the face of the one you loved. And at that moment, bring light in between you and the other individual and share that light with them so that it helps them wherever they may be. I don't know where they are, but sending them light is an amazing method of spiritual gravity in the sense that whoever it is that light is directed to, they're able to experience it and they'll feel a sense of comfort reaching them. They won't remember you as that person, or maybe they will, who knows, but certainly that light will reach them and they will be comforted by that. And so the same technique, not just in terms of bereavement, but in terms of hurts. And somehow, because it's a state of world in which there's more negativity than there is positivity, generally speaking, it's the dark night of the planet and humanity. There's no question about that. But the good news is that we are moving towards the day. The dawn has broken and the day is just ahead. So a hurt, treachery, whatever it is, I bring in light so that the light is able to protect me from any further pain. Otherwise, the memory awakens and the same feelings of sorrow and disappointment or cruelty or whatever it is, all of that emerges in a very strong way. But now I'm bringing in light and I'm allowing that light to dissolve that scene, that image. So I'm immersed in the light. And gradually, as I've practiced this regularly, I find I'm liberated from that particular scene. And another simple thing to experiment with, first thing in the morning, make time for yourself, for silence, for reflection, to be able to draw through meditation the power of the divine within yourself. But also, in a very simple exercise, surround yourself with a crystal of white light, and keep that protection with yourself through the day so that there's nothing that's able to penetrate that, and you are protected so that there's no more pain and hurt that comes your way. Because I'm already hurting and I'm unable to forget, and more and more is coming my way, maybe not from the same person, maybe from many others or one or two others, whatever it is. But if I just allow it to come to me and I absorb it, then the initial hurt hasn't healed yet. And now there's more salt being put on the wound. And so I'm accumulating more and more hurt. And a very sad situation is when I know for a fact, hurt people hurt people. If I've been hurt, what am I going to do to others? I'm going to hurt them unintentionally, or maybe intentionally, but definitely hurt people hurt people. And so let me create that protection so that I don't add anything further to the hurt I already carry. And through this process, I'm able to let go and nothing else is coming to be absorbed into my sphere. But I'm also then whatever is the memory, I'm bringing light into that image, and I'm protecting myself from having those same feelings arise within me yet again. And so that also begins to heal and settle. And surprisingly, a little while later, maybe sometime later, difficult to say, but at some point, you'll suddenly wake up and you'll think to yourself, my goodness, I haven't thought of that scene. I haven't thought of that individual for a day or a week or however long. And you realize that somewhere something settled. And so you've settled that karma, you've settled whatever it was, and you are now well and truly free. And so until I can learn to forget, let me at least free myself from the poison of lack of forgiveness so that I forgive. And then, in its own time, the process of healing will happen, and I can even learn to let go and truly forget so that it's not a block in my mind anymore. Experiment with these ideas, and for sure, you yourself will feel how all of this works. Let's have a few minutes of meditation. Carry on sitting comfortably wherever you are. You don't have to sit in a particular posture, but sit so that you're alert and comfortable, so that the body is not something that's pulling towards itself. You're able to be detached. I'm going to suggest that you experiment with keeping your eyes open and you focus on that image of the point of light in front of you. And I hope you're able to try it with your eyes open, even though meditation, eyes closed, usually both go together. But this is a different system in which the hope is that you're able to maintain this higher awareness, this higher consciousness at all times, not just when you meditate and then your eyes open and you get distracted by a thousand other things. No, my eyes are open, I'm listening, but my attention is inwards. And so when I walk down the street, yes, my eyes are open, I'm not going to bump into anyone or the lamppost, but I'm focused on my inner journey, not just my physical journey, but also the inner journey. I'm at home peeling potatoes or doing whatever it is I need to do, but I'm focused inside. And in this way, I'm emerging the highest within that being that I truly am. I go on an inner journey. I visualize a point of light in the center of the forehead. I am light. I am this inner being. I know so much about the physical form. But now I want to explore the inner being. And as I go deeper and deeper, deep inside myself, I discover the center point of consciousness, the light in the center of the forehead, and I discover peace within. And as I open the door of peace, I realize there are many more treasures within. There is peace. There is love. There is truth. There is joy. And there is purity. These are my original qualities. These are my natural state of being. I, the soul, the inner being, am made up of these qualities. This is who I am. And as I experience each of these treasures, they emerge more and more strongly. And become my natural state, so that my responses through my thinking, my speaking, and my doing are guided by these. I hold this awareness of who I truly am. Holding this in my awareness, I come back to the awareness of the present situation and the things around me. But now, aware of the being within and the qualities that are actually within this being. Om, I am Shanti, peace. Om Shanti. Thank you.
Thank you very much. There's a few questions that have come in already, so I will start with those. I think many of them you've touched on, but perhaps you can explore them a little further with us. But the first question actually is to do with the chat before the talk. And the person would like to know what your new job entails and if you can survive on a plant-based diet doing that job. And do you have to take vitamins, supplements to allow you to do the new job?
Okay. So the new job entails a lot of discussion with India, because out of our 8,000 centers across the world in 110 countries, the vast majority of our centers are actually based in India. And our headquarters is huge. We have accommodation for 25,000 people in one campus and a couple of thousand in another campus and a few hundred in the original first campus. So it's a lot of people and a lot of activity. And so far, And it's only been about a month that I've been in this role. So within this period, I've had to deal with, not alone, but with very, very otherwise elders, deal with various things. And yes, it's taken a fair amount of time and patience and understanding how to navigate one's way. But it's moving forward, I would say, in the right direction. And yes, I do take supplements and it's very useful. And so I would suggest that apart from your plant-based diet, if you have somebody you can consult who's a naturopath, or if there's a doctor who's also interested in complementary things, then they can also guide you.
Thank you. The next question. I lost my husband recently, and sometimes I feel relief, and sometimes I'm angry. Why did he leave us?
How can I be angry when I don't know what were the factors that made that soul leave? The condition of the body, the circumstances, and so one really doesn't know. But it's happened. Can I change that? I don't think I can. But what I can do is, firstly, be grateful for the time that we had together. And so I recommend that you spend a little time just exploring all the good things that happened in your time together, and be grateful that you have those good experiences and good memories to hold on to. But now, can I come to a state of acceptance so that now I'm able to do the best that I can in my current situation? If I hold on to anger, I'm not able to use the opportunity that life is giving me at the present moment. And there's always, always opportunity. There's a choice in terms of what my thinking should be, what my feeling should be, how my conscience should operate. And I'll then be able to keep things on track if I understand all of this. And then I'll also be able to see the choices that I have in front of me. And then with peace in my heart and contentment, I'm going to be able to make the right choices that are going to bring me the comfort that I need, not just for myself, but also those who are dependent on me. So I have a responsibility to others also. One individual has gone, but I still carry a responsibility for others. And so let me be able to fulfill that responsibility to the best of my ability. And maybe finding a path to meditation. And the meditation we teach is totally free of cost, so this isn't an advertisement. But maybe you can contact Inner Space to see when they next have their courses, whether it's online or in person. But just find out from Inner Space when their courses of meditation are, because that will help you, A, make sense of what has happened so that there's meaning, but also find your purpose for now and for the future once more.
Thank you. How do you balance forgiveness with looking after yourself if others are verbally abusive towards you, but you do need to have some sort of relationship with them?
Forgiveness is for my freedom. And then I also need to be able to protect myself. And if it means having a conversation with them, in which I can say, I want to continue in this relationship, whatever that may be. But I also want us both to feel comfortable. And I think we need to change how we relate to each other. If I can gather that energy and that power and hold on to my own dignity, actually, forgiveness also means to be able to re-emerge my dignity as an independent being. Lack of forgiveness means I'm dependent. I'm waiting for something else to happen by somebody. No, my dignity is in my own hands. And so my forgiveness and letting go means that I maintain my dignity. And then if I can have a conversation, let me be able to do that. The sooner the better, as soon as I'm emotionally and mentally prepared for it. And then if I'm not ready to do that yet, try that exercise that I mentioned earlier of surrounding yourself with that crystal of light so that nothing can penetrate and cause any hurt. And even if what they say is verbal abuse, but you don't take it in that way, you don't allow it to hurt you, and you're able to maintain your cool and your dignity and get on with your own life.
Thank you. There's a similar question. Is it okay to forgive and try to forget, but also not want to have anything to do with that person anymore? In particular, a few friends and my sister.
I think it's fine to give yourself a break and say that until things have healed inside, I'd rather not have any communication. I think that's absolutely valid. And then at some point later, destiny, drama might bring you into contact again, and maybe by then you're ready for that. But I don't think it's a problem to say that at this point, I just need to be able to heal myself.
Is there a process of reflection that can help you forgive sincerely?
Yes, definitely. It is to ask myself the question, two questions. What is the benefit if I can forgive and let go? And what is the damage I'm causing myself if I don't forgive? So ask yourself these two questions, and as those answers come up within your own awareness, you'll know what you need to do.
How to forgive the self when we didn't say sorry or goodbye to departed loved ones?
Again, yes, it is very important to forgive the self, because I can't carry on the rest of my life holding this burden of guilt. It's a crucifix that's weighing me down and not allowing me to progress. And so how can I forgive now? I don't know where they've gone, but what I can do is to bring them in front of me and ask for forgiveness on the spiritual level and let it then rest. I've done the best that I can. And if I believe in God, I can bring God into the picture so that that individual, God, and myself, the three of us are together. And when I say God, I don't mean any human image. That image of light is maybe the closest one can get to understanding the divine, the source of light, the source of love, the source of all positive attributes, just that being of light. And so that individual, the divine, and myself, and I seek forgiveness. And I'm sure that that can bring peace back to you.
Thank you. If the whole world is caught up in a cycle of karma, when is the world going to become a better place? In your talk, you spoke about the darkest night being now, but that there is light coming. So could you, what is that light? Is it a patched up world?
I think that just as there are seasons within the cycle of 12 months, and whether you like it or not, it already feels cool and chilly. Autumn is here, and it's a signal that winter is not so far away. And a month ago, we were going through heat waves one after another. And we thought that, you know, this heat is never going to end. But it ended, and now the cool nights have started. And so there are seasons. And in the same way, the world goes through seasons also. And in this case, it's not so much, well, maybe you could describe it as winter and spring and summer and autumn also, but definitely it's easier to describe the day and the night. And so it's an analogy, but it works. There's been a period of darkness for a couple of thousand years, in fact, not just the last 100 years or so with all its world wars, but actually a couple of thousand years. And where we are headed now is towards the day, the light. And I believe that this is a very special time of transition when we have knowledge, we have information, we have access to all sorts of things that in terms of learning that we didn't have before. And so I think that we are moving out of that phase of darkness and into that phase of light. And I think that that era of enlightenment is on its way. And we are seeing many, many signs of this. One of the things that I learned was that the two words that were most searched on Google were meditation and God. And again, something else very interesting. We had two programs being publicized on media, and one was the subject of knowing God and or understanding God, but with God in the title, and the other one was just simply meditation. And we had over 100 people book themselves in for the talk on God, and much, much less in numbers to think about meditation. So I'm seeing that this awakening where there is this interest of knowing God is right now. It's happening at this moment. So I feel that light is entering this world. And I know that generally there seems to be darkness, but if you're looking for the light, you'll find it in the most unexpected places, rays of light coming through.
Thank you. Is it possible that to forgive and forget when the disagreement and pain was between our parents and aunties?
Whatever it is that's caused the disagreement and the pain, the process of forgiveness has to happen if I'm to have a happy life now. And if the pain and disagreement still continues, well, can it change to a situation of difference of opinion and maybe some reconciliation? Can I try for that? And if I have pure intentions and I use my power of pure thought and good feelings and love and respect, because whatever the current pain and disagreement may be, there has been a lot of love and sustenance and upbringing and nurture received for many years. And so emerging that gratitude and then approaching the disagreement with a very different spirit and that purpose of reconciliation, something good can come.
You spoke about immersing the self in the light, and you've explored that a little further with us, that being the God, light of God. How does that light of God that's so powerful, how does it erase pain? Can it be that powerful?
The power of love is able to remove pain. The power of love is able to heal the soul. And so, yes, absolutely. God's love, God's light is able to give me hope for the future and remove the pain from the past and give me power for the present so that I know which direction to start moving in. And so make that connection. And that's what the whole journey of meditation is about. But you'll find that God's love is able to heal.
Thank you so much. You've taken us into a huge amount of depth and been so concise in your answers.